Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to start things off with the college football playoff, as we will have new rankings coming out at approximately 60 minutes from now. My expectations, personally, here's what I think should happen, and then here's what I'll give you what will happen. My should: Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Ohio State 3, TCU 4, Tennessee 5, Oregon 6. We won't bore you to death after 6. We'll just give you the top 6 teams. What I think will happen, though, is that it will be Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, Tennessee 5, and then Oregon 6. So where I differentiate, and the committee was so disrespectful to Michigan last week when they put the Wolverines at 5 and Ohio State 2, I think Michigan's better than Ohio State right now, but I do believe that the committee will finally elevate Michigan into the top 4 this week. They'll put them at 3, and they'll put Ohio State still sitting it at number 2. So I don't think there's going to be a lot to be irate about tonight, but really the bigger topic of conversation that I want to delve into right out of the gate with the college football playoff is the question that we get into each and every year: should the college football playoff expand? Now, remember, there's a new wrinkle here, because the report in September was it's expected in 2026 that the college football playoff format's going to extend to 12 teams. I've been against expansion of the college football playoff, and here's why. And you saw it, picture-perfect reason why they should not expand this past weekend. The regular season in college football, there's nothing like it. Every single game matters, and there's only so many Saturdays that you're able to sit on your couch, you make pigs in the blanket, chicken wings, nachos, you place all your bets, and you watch college football all of Saturday from noon Eastern all the way through the last Pac-12 game that probably ends at midnight or sometimes a little bit after midnight. And honestly, the day gets even started before that. If you get rid of your honey-do list kind of activities, sometimes you're watching College game day. You see Corso with the headgear. You see Pat McAfee go wild. Or if you flip over to Fox, you have Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, and so on and so on. So I love the pure emotion and the pure importance week in and week out of the college football season. And my big fear is when you go to 12, that it lessens the importance of the regular season. And I don't believe there's ever been a year in the college football playoff where anyone has ever said, wow, we need to see the fifth team, the first team that was left out, they need to be in the college football playoff and be irate about it. Or the sixth team really got screwed. I don't remember there being a year where I've had a legitimate problem with the four teams that they selected. And the greatness that we saw last weekend, Bama losing to LSU, Clemson getting destroyed by Notre Dame, the pressure week in and week out of TCU to stay undefeated in the Big 12, the Pac-12, who's going to emerge between the one-loss group of teams with Oregon, with UCLA, and USC. Those are storylines that have so much significance. Michigan, Ohio State, they're both undefeated. They're heading to a clash of the game Thanksgiving weekend. And if you go to 12 teams, and if you expand the college football playoff, that Ohio State-Michigan game, it always means something, but the loser's still going to find a way in. Alabama, I've seen enough of Alabama this year. They're not good. They're not the Alabama that we have usually thought Alabama to be. If there's a 12-team college football playoff, Alabama already has two losses to Tennessee and LSU. They also played like crap against Texas when Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback, got hurt. And they did not play well against Texas A&M. They probably should have lost the game if Jimbo Fisher had a damn clue how to call a play down by 4 points driving. But if you go to 12 teams, and that's inevitably going to happen in 2026, if not sooner, but we know that the college football playoff committee moves like snails just covered in molasses, it does ruin the importance and gives you a lesser significance of the regular season that makes college football so great. And I don't want to get in a spot where it's participation trophies, where a team has 3 losses, a team has 2 losses, and they get into a 12-team field. And that's why I love this 4-team format so much, because we've never had a 2-loss team in the college football playoff. And this year, it is more wide open in years past, because you've had Clemson fall. You've had Alabama fall. Georgia's been the dominant team. You know they're going to get in. You know the winner of the Big Ten championship game is going to get in. And whoever wins, pretty much Michigan, Ohio State is what I'm saying. But after that, you know, I'm really compelled to see, can TCU run the table with Sonny Dykes and Max Duggan? I'm compelled to see who's going to emerge out of the Pac-12. I would still anticipate that a 1-loss Tennessee team can get in. But I don't need to see more than that. And that's why today I asked this poll question, which college football playoff format would you prefer? Is it a 4-team playoff or is it a 12-team playoff? And I've already gotten the tweets. Because right now, everyone's screaming, well, what about 6? What about 8? That's not the discussion, folks. It's already going to happen in 2026, a 12-team playoff. So it's no more debating, should they go to 6? Should they go to 8? And I've said this for years. I'm against expansion, but if the college football playoffs were to expand, you would go to 8. And the way that I would structure it is the 5 Power 5 conference champions get in, 1 group of 5 schools, so like last year would have been your Cincinnati who ended up getting it anyway, and then you have 2 wild card spots. Then you get more money available, and you could profit more off the sport. You could have an expanded field that would cater to everyone saying expand, expand, expand the college football playoff. But when you go to 8, it doesn't ruin the regular season in its entirety. Does it lessen the importance of some games? Yes, that's what happens when you expand. But a drastic jump to 12 is just too much. And I know there's going to be a lot of people. I see the results in this poll question right now. 80.6%. In the early returns of our poll question, say they'd rather prefer a 12-team playoff than a 4-team playoff. And that, to me, is mind-boggling. That makes zero sense to me. Because why do you want to reward losing? I don't get that. Why do we need to see Alabama in the college football playoff in a 12-team field when they've done nothing this regular season to impress you? Clemson plays in a weak ACC. They just got blown out by Notre Dame. Notre Dame, who lost earlier in the year to Marshall, they lost to Stanford. And Notre Dame just embarrassed them. I don't need to see Clemson, 1-loss Clemson, that probably will end up winning the ACC. They already clinched the spot in the ACC championship game. I need to see them in a 12-team college football playoff field? That doesn't make sense to me. And I know people are going to tell me parity, and you get more teams in, it's good for the sport. I don't think so. Because college football isn't broken. And if it's not broken, you don't need to fix it. And I don't love in Major League Baseball that they added an extra playoff team. I don't love in the NFL that they've added an extra playoff team as well in both the AFC and the NFC. I thought 6 was perfect. I thought the 5 teams that get in from each American League and NL was perfect with the wild card game. I didn't need more of it. I know why it's done from a revenue purpose, and you get more teams that are in it throughout the season, and in the professional ranks that discourages maybe tanking. But for college, I don't need to see 2-3 lost teams in the college football playoff. Well, I got to see Ole Miss potentially this year in the college football playoff if it was the 12 teams. I got to see whoever loses, Ohio State, Michigan, in the college football playoff. Clemson backs their way in. Alabama backs their way in. No. And even with how open it is this year, there's really eight teams right now, with still a month of the season left, that you're considering for the college football playoff. And inevitably, the survival of the fittest will prevail. And whoever wins their games, if Michigan beats Ohio State, they'll get in, Ohio State's out. Flip-flop the other way, too. And then it comes down to who survives Big 12 and Pac-12. And if this is one of those years where there's a really strong fifth team, and let's say you have a one-loss Oregon that's left out, so be it. But just to cater to one of those rare scenarios where a one-loss Oregon gets left out of the top four doesn't mean we need to add teams 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 to the college football playoff. So where do you stand on this? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If it's just between a 4-team playoff and a 12-team playoff, which one would you prefer? And I would prefer 1,000% the current 4-team model. There has never been a year where I've sat here and said, wow, we need to see more teams in. We need to see more losers that failed in the regular season get rewarded with the college football playoff berth. And to go from 4 to eventually 12 is too big of a jump, and I think is an awful, awful, awful decision. Hickey, I know where you lie on this. You want as many teams, the more teams the merrier, in your mind. You explain to me why, if it's between 4 and 12, why you're on the side of 12 teams in the college football playoff.
You're talking about rewarding losing, which is a whole other discussion in the first place, but what about rewarding winning? And you can argue easily two of the hottest teams right now outside of Georgia are Oregon and LSU, and both are going to need help and or both get left out of the college football playoff despite the fact that both have gotten better over the course of a season,
well,
which is what you want to see.
Florida State then. LSU lost to Florida State. Don't lose to Florida State.
So we're going to punish them for winning on Labor Day weekend. We're going to punish a team come December.
They should not have lost to Florida State.
I'm sorry. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I'm sorry.
You don't think they should have lost to Florida State?
You're going to punish Oregon for having a first-time head coach, first-time new quarterback, playing in basically Georgia's backyard, losing to the defending national champs, and then now their season's over. Now they can't get a shot at the playoff. Why is that?
Let's say Tennessee gets in over Oregon. Let's just say if that's the way that it happens. Tennessee played Georgia a lot closer than Oregon did.
Score-wise, yeah, but did they really? They were never in the game. And
Georgia
Tennessee,
lost 49-3.
If Tennessee
you had Oregon
potentially gets left
three.
Out, because there's no guarantee that Tennessee's going to make it. What if Tennessee gets left out? Now Tennessee loses to what's about to be the number one team in the country on the road, and now their season's over?
To cater to two teams, you want to go from 4 to 12 if that was the option.
No, it's not two teams.
Yes, it is.
It's
that's
catering
what it is.
To teams playing good football. You're talking about I'm going to ask you this question. Maybe it's easier to talk about it this way. Why are you prioritizing the regular season over the postseason? No other sport does that. You're prioritizing, for example, an Ohio State-Michigan game at end of the year. You want that to mean something.
Yes.
But you don't really care about the playoff
because
meaning something.
Because that's the beauty of college
that
football.
Doesn't really
it's those rivalries at the end
sense.
Of the year. It 100% makes
punish
sense.
Punish Michigan or Ohio State, which everyone would agree are two of the best 4 teams in the country. They're going to play. You lose, and the loser now is out. Out. Out of the playoff. That's their season's over.
Yes.
When, again, no other sport.
Win the games. Don't just go to 12 and then take away the importance of that. That makes no sense to me. So this team you can't stand. Alabama this year, you've been saying they're fraudulent all throughout the year, right or wrong?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay. So now Alabama's going to get rewarded for having two losses. If they went out, and even if they maybe suffer one more loss, because you know the committee's going to favor Alabama, they could have 3 losses and get in the college football playoff. Why the heck do I need to see Alabama with 3 losses in the college football playoff? They've stunk this year for Alabama standards.
Well, number one, I mean, if they stake them, they'll get eliminated in the first round. Okay, then they're out early. See you later. It doesn't matter. I don't understand why you're looking at 4 teams and we're not going to allow the best teams to compete for a title. What's the big deal? I don't understand. Every other sport has multiple teams play that should make the playoffs every single year.
I don't need to waste my time watching teams that did not prove their worth in the regular season.
Sport where it's only 4 teams, we got to prioritize the regular season because God forbid, you know, the playoffs are not that important. It's all about the regular season. That's nonsense. I'm sorry, that's nonsense. I want to see
the
best teams compete for a title.
You are the same guy that was not happy with the Phillies getting in with 87 wins. You were the same guy.
When did I say that?
You were the same guy.
I'm the same guy that wished the Mets
did
better.
That up. That brought that up. The Phillies get it last week during the playoffs. Oh,
no,
they got 87 wins. They got in. That's the same thing.
I never spit on the Phillies for everyone outside of Philadelphia,
New York, L.A. that bitched about the Phillies getting in. That's what's going to happen when the 11th or 12th team gets in and they go on a run. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can chime on at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Which college football playoff format would you prefer, 12 team or the 4 team? If you want to be like Hickey and be in the 80.6%, fine. You hand out participation trophies and you reward losing. You want to join in on the 19.4% of a 4-team college football playoff. Marcus Freeman going to join us coming up at 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Blake Corum, the Heisman hopeful from Michigan, going to join us in hour number 2. And then Dwight Freeney on the disaster that are his Indianapolis Colts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. If it's between 4 or 12 teams for the college football playoff, which one would you prefer? I love the current format of 4 teams. It makes the regular season so important, and it makes you actually have to prove something throughout the entire year instead of like a Clemson team losing to Notre Dame when Clemson's not that good this year and still getting rewarded. Alabama with 2 losses, getting rewarded if it was a 12-team playoff. Same could be said for LSU. I get it. LSU's hot. They just beat Alabama. But earlier in the year, they were crap against Florida State. I don't need to reward losing. We do too much rewarding of losing in this society, and I don't want to tolerate it anymore. So I don't want to see an Ole Miss team get in this year or an Alabama team get in if the college football playoff were expanded to 12 teams. And think about it, how you're going to have Thanksgiving weekend, Ohio State, Michigan win, and you're basically in. In that case, who cares who wins that game? Both would get in a 12-team format. I hate the 12-team format, and I've never seen a year of college football where I've thought since going to 4 teams, wow, we really need to see more teams. Let's get to the calls, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Rich in Chicago, first up on the Zach Gelb Show. Rich, what say you?
Hey, Zach, well, I can tell you, before I explain the why, we're in the minority. I'm with you. I'm a lot older than you, and I go back in the 70s, and I was actually played college football in the 70s, and it was a mythical national champion where the writers voted on you. I kind of like the idea of a playoff, but given the choice, which is a bad choice, 4 versus 12, we're in the minority. You're going to have overwhelming people tell you you need 12. I'm with you. You don't. And let me give you an analogy. The reason there's a 64 team field in NCAA basketball, there's 330 Division I basketball teams. There's only 131 football teams. So why do you need to expand it? Because I got to tell you, the colleges have bowl games as consolation prizes for the guys who aren't in the top 8 to 12. I'm a big proponent of 8. I think if you go 8 deep, and I've been an advocate of this for 2 years, I couldn't believe they went to 12. It just waters things down.
I'm 100% with you, Rich, and here's what it is. A lot of people, they root for programs that they're just simply not good enough, like Hickey. You know, you look at Penn State. He's a big Penn State fan. They already have two losses. If this was a 12-team format, Penn State would still have a chance to get in. I've seen Penn State enough this year. I've seen Penn State in a game where they were close against Ohio State, then get blown out towards the end. And then Michigan, they just ran right through them like a hot knife through butter. I don't need to see Penn State getting an opportunity to be in the college football playoff. It is a waste of time. And also, player safety. All right, isn't player safety a big topic of conversation? Now we need more games? Stop. It has nothing to do with player safety. That's always baloney whenever they use player safety. It's all about money, and that's why it's going to 12 teams. To go from 4 to 12 makes zero sense. If you are going to make the jump, and I'm not dumb, I know that it's around money, go to 8. Don't water down the product with 12. Let's go to Todd in Syracuse next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Todd, go ahead.
Hey, Zach, I got to disagree with you like the first caller just said, man. I'm going to say that 12 will be better.
Well, the first caller agreed with me. He didn't disagree with me.
Disagree with you. Sorry about that. When he said the minority piece, you and him are going to be in the minority, because I'm with Hickey on this one. I think that to have 12 teams will be better because sports are built off of that late run, right? Are you hot at the end of the season, and can you carry that momentum into the playoffs and through the playoffs? Look at the Rams last year, right? That's a great example. Tampa a few years ago did the same thing. That's what sports are all about, man. You got to give Hickey some love on this one.
No, I don't. You could have one loss and still find a way to salvage your season, but once you drop two games like LSU, I don't need to see you in the college football playoff. Let's go to Charles in Charlotte, North Carolina, next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Charles, what's happening?
Hey, Zach. I appreciate the time. And fortunately, I am an LSU fan, but that's not why I was calling. I wanted to discuss about why I think it should be. I'm not as in favor of the 12, but I thought you were advocating the 4 teams, and I have been for the last few years in favor of 8 teams, and I don't think that will get in. But I think the whole purpose of this, isn't it, to decide who is the best team in college football at the end of the year? Isn't that what the whole purpose is?
Yeah, and therefore you need to prove that throughout the regular season. And here's the thing. Here's the thing.
No.
I don't think if you have a 3-loss team get in, that all of a sudden they're going to magically turn it around. I really
don't. You're
not
going to have a 3-loss.
Yes, you will. In a 12-team format, you will.
No, I agree. I'm not for the 12, but I'm certainly against the 4. I've always been for the 8.
Well, Charles, when has there ever been a year that you've said, wow, I need more teams because the 4 teams that got in, that's not the right 4 teams, and more teams need to get in?
Okay, let's say LSU goes on a run, and I have suspect, and I'm a huge LSU fan. They went out and they beat Georgia in a 3-point game in the SEC championship. I could argue with you because, I mean, you're deciding things, but I could decide that Tennessee, Georgia, and LSU are the 3 best teams of the 4, if we're going with 4 right now, and that they should be in. Because I think going to 8 also helps that the ACC and the Big Ten aren't as good as the SEC if you're an SEC homer like myself, and often the ACC isn't, whether you're
But once again, Charles, you're making the argument for one team like LSU. So if you're telling me you want to go to 8, okay, I could live with that. If you want to expand it in a minimal way, okay, but to 12, that's still rewarding too many teams that there's not enough conversations why we need to see in arguments, why we need to see them in the college football playoff. And that's my biggest problem. For one team, LSU, like say in a situation like this year, then we need to see all those other teams get in that quite frankly just don't belong. I'm not for that. Michael in North Carolina next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I was just saying, I would go with 6 at the most for the playoff. You know, I wouldn't go any higher than that because that's the cream of the crop. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, some teams at the end of the season, they have an injury or something, or some fluke happens and they lose. Doesn't mean they're not an elite team.
So you want to go to 6 is what you're saying?
Yeah, 6 at the most.
Okay, but that's not what the reality is, because they've already said in 2026, if not sooner, they're going to 12. So we could sit here until I'm blue in the face and argue, go to 6, go to 8. Okay, I'll even wave the white flag. If it's in terms of expansion, that's inevitably going to happen, and you want to moving in a small, minuscule way to 6 or 8, I could live with that. But to go to 12, I don't need to see the top 12 teams in the country. Because most of the years, teams 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 are a snooze fest. That's just what the situation is. And I really do think that because of Alabama's dominance, there's a perception, oh, well, there's so many teams that just can't get in for starters because two SEC teams always get in. There has never been a year where you've legitimately had a gripe about the four teams that are in. But let's then just move that all the way up and augment it to 12 teams. That makes zero sense to me. But 80.6% of the people right now said they'd rather see a 12-team playoff than a 4-team playoff, as that's at 19.4%. Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. Marcus Freeman, the head football coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, is going to join us coming up on the other side.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
That's what I'm talking about. It is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Over the weekend, what a scene it was for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. They had a matchup against, at the time, number 4 Clemson, and they blew them out by a final score of 35-14. We'll head out to the guest line right now and welcome in the first-year head football coach of Notre Dame, and that, of course, is Marcus Freeman. Coach, congratulations on the win. Appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I mean this in the most positive and polite way possible. I love maniacs, and I thought there was nothing better from your victory than your special teams coordinator, Brian Mason, flailing his arms, the headset falling off his face after you guys had that 6-block punt of this year.
Oh, he might be the definition of maniac. You know, I've known Coach Mason for a long time. We coached together at Kent State probably 10 or 11 years ago when I was a linebackers coach and he was the defensive GA, and to see his progression and his enhancement in terms of what he's done and to block 5 punts in the last 4 games has been incredible. And they continue to find a way to get it done, and he's done a great job.
And clearly that's been a consistent unit for you guys. But going back to last year, I saw a tweet from Matt Zenitz that there was only 2 teams last year that had 6-block punts all throughout the nation. And he was one of the special teams coordinator, the special teams coordinator at Cincinnati, one of the 2 units that were able to do that. His consistency is really something.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And it starts with a belief in the scheme and belief in what we're doing. And it's not magic. Like it's not like we're tricking anybody, but it's the execution of what we're doing and the ability to beat the one-on-one blocks that you have to beat and to, at the end of the day, get the job done. And they keep doing it and doing it.
There's usually never a perfect way to win, but for you guys, it felt like that was the way on Saturday night because you got really contributions from all 3 phases. We talked about the block punt. You had 2 interceptions on defense, and then your offense runs for over 250-plus yards. That's got to be a perfect win, right?
Yeah, whenever you can get the win, it's a perfect win. And, listen, I didn't think going into the game
You know, if you would have said exactly how the game was going to go, it would have been a victory, but I don't know if that's how I drew it up. But, you know, it was a beautiful display of execution and belief in what the game plan was. And, you know, our offense really did a great job of controlling the tempo of the game. Coach Reese, our offensive coordinator, and Drew Pine, our quarterback, really ran that show. And defensively, to limit that offense to 90 yards rushing was a huge accomplishment. And then special teams, you know, not only to block punts, but the ability to down a couple punts inside the 10 and to really win the battlefield position, you know, it really was a three-phase execution. And it was really good to see.
Notre Dame's head coach Marcus Freeman here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. We all know, Coach, how iconic the brand is of Notre Dame, the stadium as well. When you see that scene unfold afterwards with all the students rushing the field and all the fans coming to celebrate with you guys, what's going through your mind through all that craziness, and what was it just a state of euphoria for you guys?
Well, they had said with probably about a minute left, one of the police officers that told me said, "Hey, I think they're going to rush the field." And he was like, "Just stay by me." And I wanted to enjoy it. And we went and did the post-game interview, and I could feel it kind of just caving in a little bit. And I remember telling the police officers, "Hey, let's just enjoy this. Let's go sing the alma mater." And about 10 seconds later, I said, "Okay, I get it. We got to get out of here." And so we found a way to get out of there. But, man, what a moment. And something that I think in the moment you don't appreciate as much as you do now, but that will be a night that I'll never forget.
What does that win mean for your program in year one for you?
You know, I think it's just a belief in terms of what we're doing, a belief in who this new direction of Notre Dame football is about. And you know, we got a really good football team that hasn't always played well. And that comes from the top down. But the belief in terms of how good we can be should be there. And I hope that's what our players in this program get out of there, is that, listen, we got a long way to go. We're right in the middle of two mountains, but we're not the mountain that isn't good enough, and we're not the mountain that's the best team in the country. We're right in the middle, and we need to keep our head down and continue to work. But where this place can go is still upwards, and there's great places to continue to rise to.
You said the new Notre Dame football. How do you define what you expect that to eventually be?
You know, I hope it's a team that continues to reach its full potential. It has new leadership, right? Notre Dame football and the University of Notre Dame is special no matter who's at the top of the leadership. But, you know, with me being a new head coach, we had to really create a new foundation. And you can't just change head coaches and think you're going to pick up right where Coach Kelly left this program. Coach Kelly did an unbelievable job of building this place to where it needed to be. And so I had to come in and really kind of do it my way. And that meant we had to take some losses and really kind of figure some things out. And it starts with me trying to figure out what exactly is it going to take for us to have success this year. Every year it's going to change based off the talent and who you have in your program. But the foundation of being tough and the foundation of playing with extremely hard effort and really being a truly three-phase team is something that I believe in, and that's really going to take for us to reach our full potential.
Marcus Freeman here with us. We've been talking about your team overcoming adversity. Why did your group not succumb to the public pressure where everyone was writing you off after that Marshall loss and also the loss against Stanford?
Well, I told them this road to where we want to go isn't going to be as smooth as we ever expected. And I don't think any great accomplishment is as smooth as you expected on the front end. And when we view, you know, when I think sometimes when you daydream and see a national championship or you daydream and see yourself making a lot of money one day, you don't really think about the pain and the suffering you have to go through. And that's what I kept telling them. Like, we're on this bumpy road, and we have to continue to decrease the size of these bumps. We can't lose to a Marshall. You can't lose to a Stanford. But there's never going to be perfection. And how do we decrease those small bumps is through very intentional hard work and having a sense of urgency to get these things fixed. And I told them, don't lose faith in what we're doing. But we have to fix this process, not just trust it, but fix it. And that's what has really happened from our coaches on to our players, that sense of urgency to correct our mistakes, to really be accountable for every action we have has really turned into some great results.
Coach Marcus Freeman, nine games in to this season, your first year as a coach at Notre Dame, being the head honcho, what have you learned about yourself?
That every day you got to learn. And that's what I've learned about myself, is that there's no book to leading a program, especially a program like this football program at Notre Dame. But you know what, if you continue to stay grounded who you are, and for me that's because of my parents, the hard work and the you know, really the selflessness to really put others in front of yourself, things will fall into place, right? And but things don't happen just because you show up. It's got to be intentional work, and it's not easy. And so one thing I'll realize, it's not easy, but with great people around you and great players, great young men, we can accomplish some great things.
Well, I did say that your special teams coordinator, Coach Mason, is a maniac. I would say that you're a machine, because I saw your post-game press conference the other day, Coach, and you watch film right after the game. You had to go back and watch the game against Clemson. Like, enjoy it a little bit. You know, take in the moment a little, Coach. Come on, you can wait the next day.
There's nothing more satisfying for me than to be able to get in my office and turn on a little film and be able to watch and correct those mistakes, because that's how I sleep, right, is I know that we've addressed the issues. And I'm a guy of routine, and my routine is to right away come in and watch the film, and that's what I did, no matter if it's after a Stanford loss or after a Clemson win. That's what I'm going to do.
Would that be the same case if you win a national championship at Notre Dame? Would you be watching film that night, or would you maybe then take in a day?
I might give it a couple hours, but I'm not going to sleep without watching that film. But I would have wanted to make sure I celebrate a little bit longer after a national championship.
Coach Marcus Freeman here with us. When it comes to college football playoff expansion, where do you lie on that issue?
You know, the more opportunities that we give teams, the better. And I'm always a proponent of giving the opportunity to more teams. Now, how to do it and how to implement it, that's not my, you know, expertise. Jack Swarbrick, our athletic director, and those commissioners of the conferences, I'm sure the presidents, they'll figure it out. But I'm always a proponent for more opportunities, for more teams to have a chance to win it.
The only thing that concerns me a little bit is if it takes away from the importance of the regular season, because these games really do mean everything. And that's the only thing that I don't want to take away and lessen the importance of the regular season.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And I don't think it has to, Zach. I don't think that you, just because you expand the teams that make it into the playoffs, that it has to make the regular season less important. I don't think this isn't the NFL. And again, I don't want to discredit the NFL, because every game, I believe, is important to them too. But I truly believe that, you know, with the teams that you're playing out of conference, for certain teams that are in conferences, not like us, but you know, the teams that you play out of conferences matter. You know, every game is going to matter, especially in college football. I don't think that'll ever change.
Do you feel like Notre Dame is going to be moving towards the direction of finally joining a conference full-time for football?
You know what? I think as long as we don't put our football program at a disadvantage for not being in a conference, we'll stay independent. And that's where this program was created from, was being independent. And back many, many years ago when we started football here at Notre Dame, we made money and we made our reputation of playing teams coast to coast, not in a conference, but really just trying to go and beat the best teams in the country. And I think those values still are intact to this day. And so as long as we're not hurting our football program in terms of financially or making the college football playoffs, then I think our higher-ups will continue to stay independent.
On the way out with Marcus Freeman, the head football coach at Notre Dame, off a big victory against Clemson, I just want to hit you up on a few of your players. Benjamin Morrison with the two picks. So what a moment that was. Got the touchdown as well for the freshman.
Yeah, he's special. You know, comes from an unbelievable family, you know, and I got a chance to meet a sister who's a gymnast at Michigan, and he has another sister that was a gymnast at Washington.
Wow.
I don't think he's the best athlete in the family. his father was an NFL football player. Mother really runs the show. What a great young man that works his tail off. And you know what I love about Ben Morris is that you can get he might get a pass caught on him or get a penalty called against him, and he's able to really just move on to the next play and never have his confidence shaken. And you know what? I think at that position playing corner, you have to have that mentality.
And that's what I think is really the most important part of your team. We've been talking about this all throughout this great conversation. You have guys that have overcome a lot of adversity just in this season, and one of those guys is your quarterback in Drew Pine. What has he showed you? What has he proved to you this year, Coach?
You know, I think that the ability to not let praise and criticism truly affect the way you work, you know, and as I tell him that, you know, praise can't make you and criticism can't break you. And, you know, you have to be able to understand your job is to run the show on offense. You cannot listen to outside noise and really execute. And every day and every week, look at yourself and say, how can I get better? And the consistency that he brings every day to our football program is a real reason for why he's been so successful.
And the last thing I'll ask you, Coach Marcus Freeman, we all know how great your tight end is in Michael Mayer, and there's really nothing probably new you could tell us about him. But let's say I was an NFL GM, and I believe Michael's going to be making a lot of big plays on Sunday. You saw the great run block the other night, then the touchdown catch as well. What would you tell an NFL GM if they asked you, why should I draft Michael Mayer with a big pick?
Because he checks every box, you know, and that's the one thing about Michael Mayer is that, you know, I have a saying that God is fair, and with him, I don't know. He's got a couple extra boxes checked that some of us normal people don't have checked, and what an unbelievable, humble person, the best and hardest worker we have, an unbelievable football talent, and a model citizen. So he will check every box for any NFL program.
Well, Coach, really do appreciate the time. Congratulations on the win, and good luck coming up against Navy. We thank you so much.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you.
There you go, the head football coach at Notre Dame in Marcus Freeman joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What a wonderful conversation. Hickey, just one thing I want to touch on. He says as long as it doesn't put Notre Dame at a disadvantage, they're going to remain an independent. Not shocking to me. The question just becomes, what is college football going to look like in 5-10 years from now? And will they be able to remain an independent in this new format? Because we keep on thinking it's going to truncate into 3 power conferences, but you hear reports that some have been disputed that the Pac-12 is close to adding a team or two. We know what the Big 12 has added as well. You just really wonder what the sport's going to look like 10 years from now. And that, to me, is a fascinating part of the conversation of what the sport is physically going to look like when you see the big programs like a Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC, when you see a UCLA and also a USC surprisingly depart for the Big Ten. I think that the Big 12 added some teams, but how many of those teams are going to jump to a different conference given the opportunity, SEC or the Big Ten? Same could be said if any of those teams in the ACC start to figure out what's the best interest for themselves and whatever remains right now of the Pac-12. So it's very compelling to me to see how much longer Notre Dame can remain an independent. We know how much TV money they get, but how much longer they can remain an independent before they see so many teams move and just form these super conferences.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.